Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Hey everyone, it's Shannon here at Alpha Chat. We've got a little extra something for you this week. Sherry Turkle came by to talk about her book, Reclaiming Conversation, and our chat ran a bit longer than we were able to put on our normal show. So here is the rest of our conversation. Hope you enjoy it. Technology has enabled a lot of flexibility in accessibility for people, right? In terms of how they can get their work done, how they can, you know, arrange their own schedules, which is incredibly important if you're a parent, if you're a caregiver. But, you know, how do we balance those sort of the benefits that you can have with these more flexible schedules, you know, with this idea that we are going to do better actually if we're in the office, we're not telecommuting, we're present, you know, we're meeting people in person. I mean, you give an example of, you know, a couple companies where they, you know, they see a real negative impact from people not being right in the same space, and one where they instead, you know, they kind of pull everyone back in, and we saw that happen at Yahoo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where Marissa Mayer came in and said, "Nope, can't work from home. You got to come into the office," and there was a lot of criticism about that.
Right.
But how do we sort of preserve the idea that technology can help us, you know, meet other needs in our lives, do these things, you know, make sure that I can get home, you know, I can get to the parent-teacher conference, or I can get home for my child or my parent who's living with me, while also meeting my work obligations?
Well, I think you're putting it very well. You're in your question, you're playing out in your mind the way people balance, well, on the one hand and then on the other hand. And for each two hands, people make a choice.
Right.
But that's not what's been happening. What's been happening is people have been saying, oh my God, hoteling. You know,
explain what hoteling
okay,
is.
Okay, hoteling is where you just shut down your bricks and mortar operation,
mm-hmm,
and you say, stay home.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need to come to an office, if you need a conference room, if you need the, you know, the resources, the Xeroxing and the scanning, whatever you need, come to a place, it's basically a hotel, and we'll give you a key, and we'll give you an office for a day, and you can close the door, and that's your office for the day. No one else in your work group will be there,
okay,
but you will be, you know, you'll have a place for a day.
Right, you're in a remote location, but you're plugged into the network.
You're plugged into the network someplace. And I tell a story, and it's a very, you know, a lot of companies have gone to this, because it seems cost effective, you know, instead of having like a building with, mm-hmm, all your people, mm-hmm, you know, but brushing shoulders and meeting at the water cooler and being very expensive, you know.
Right, all those overhead costs.
All those overhead costs. You know, mostly they're at home, mm-hmm, with their Xerox and, mm-hmm, maybe their fax and their scanner and, mm-hmm, their computer. And every once in a while, they take up a little office, mm-hmm, in a hotel. And I tell a story of actually this was a gentleman who had helped to build the social network that enabled the hoteling, mm-hmm, for this one company.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes in, and on the day I interview him, he tells a story of how he was so lonely and so isolated at work that he had taken his iPhone and he had recorded the silence of his office and sent it home to his wife.
Right.
That work for him had become this dead, alienating place.
Right. With and no interaction, no other people around.
No
you.
Interaction, right. No other people.
Right.
This dead space. So I guess what I'm saying is you have to balance the, you know, your needs to cut costs,
mm-hmm,
with a realistic look at what you're going to be losing and not tell yourself a kind of magical story.
Right.
Which is, I think, what we do with technology. We tell ourselves the magical story and we don't want to face the kind of realistic human story of what actually happens in this case when you don't give workers, when you don't give your employees a place to talk to each other. And I think that's really what Reclaiming Conversation is about. It's giving voice to those human stories where at the workplace, conversation counts. It counts for collaboration. It counts for creativity. It counts for making a better product and for making money and for getting people to want to come to work.
Right.
And, you know, in a crunch, that doesn't mean that a company can't make a decision that for certain product lines or for certain parts of the company, they need to take radical steps. But you have to think it through. I guess right. That's what I'm saying. You have to think it through. It's not that you can say, oh, I know, for everybody in every corner of the firm, let's just, you know, move to a solution, because it's not necessarily the solution that in the long term is going to work for you.
And just because technology lets us do something doesn't mean it's always right to do that in every
Absolutely.
Case.
Technology lets us do – technology has let us give phones to five-year-olds. They're not going outside to play. They're not talking to each other. They're seduced by all the exciting things they can do on their phone. They're not being allowed a moment of boredom or reverie, which their brains and their imaginations desperately need. Technology has not done them a service, but technology's allowed it. And the same thing is happening, to go from the five-year-olds to the corporations. Right. Technology's allowed a lot of things in the workplace that is not what our workplace needs. I talk about the pilot in the cockpit, which is what members of a law firm refer to when they talk about the guys in the firm who come in and put on their headphones and spread out their, you know, computers and their usually multiple phones and really don't want to meet with other members of the firm.
They're signaling that they're not available.
They're not available.
Yeah.
They don't want to come to lunch. They don't want to mix in the hall. They feel that they're doing more work when they are in their
bubble.
Zone. They're in their bubble. But, you know, when one of the law firms I studied actually ran the numbers, it was the lawyers who met with clients and who met with their fellow lawyers who had the better results.
So it was there, you know, in the actual numbers, in
Absolutely.
The actual financial product of
Absolutely.
The company.
I mean, one of the themes in the interviews in the workplace really was that you need conversations for trust, you need conversations to close the deal, and you need conversations to apologize.
In that case, what do you think about open office plans? This is a point of disagreement between me and my co-host, Cardiff, who kind of hates the big open office we have here because he does find it very distracting. You know, I think it's a little more beneficial because I enjoy those kind of more spontaneous interactions I have. Although I will totally cop to having the big headphones that I put on when I really need to focus. But that for me it's the sort of the physical version of, you know, disconnecting my computer from the internet when I really need to write something.
Right. Well, the open office plan is a funny thing because in one of the open offices I studied, people had established a kind of funny signaling system with their headphones because they needed to signal various degrees of accessibility.
Right.
You know, that just wearing headphones wasn't enough. Because sometimes you want to wear headphones, but also say, look, if it's an emergency,
you can interrupt me. Right.
Or you can interrupt me when it's not an emergency, but you want to collaborate on something, but it doesn't have to be like a fire.
Right.
Or please interrupt me. I'm only looking as though I'm working. You know, I'm really desperate today. So they had, you know, one flipped up was this, and, you know, one loosely in the ears was another thing. And this extremely elaborate set of signaling with headphones. So I know, I think that, and also I think people are different.
Right. And different kind of organizations are different.
And different organizations are different. But I certainly don't think that open office plans are a kind of panacea.
Right.
And in one of the companies I studied, people were finding that they were hiding.
Right.
It was an elaborate scheme of hiding under desks and, you know, finding places to hide and even staying home. I mean, I think one of the most, I would say, troubling patterns, and it really was a pattern, was of staying home from work and calling in sick
right.
when you really needed to get work done.
Right. Because you couldn't, otherwise you weren't going to be able to turn off that feed at the office no. of constantly needing to be on.
People just wishing they had an office yeah. where they closed the door, they wouldn't have to call in sick so much. Yeah. And resenting right. having to call in sick when really they just wanted to work.
Right. So you need to be able to sort of create those spaces.
Yes.
For solitude as well as for conversation. In the workplace, how do we sort of create those device-free zones?
Several things. First of all, you create device-free zones where you mm-hmm. simply say, this is a zone for conversation.
So a meeting.
A meeting.
Or a conference
Meetings
room.
Are not the place to do email. Mm-hmm. We know that note-taking on computers becomes transcription. Mm-hmm. People are doing terrible notes on their computers. They're transcribing the contents. They're not learning how to take notes. One of the biggest complaints for employers is that younger people don't know how to take notes anymore. Mm-hmm. They're not learning it by taking notes on computers. They're mm-hmm. learning how to become court stenographers. Mm-hmm. So take notes, no computers, no emails. And if your meeting is boring, and if your meeting is long and tedious and boring, well, you know, that's on you.
Right.
Get that meeting in order. So meetings will improve if really they become places where people are there to get together and have a meeting. And that just becomes the norm of the group. And then get rid of this notion that people have to have their phones there for emergencies. In other words, there is an assistant outside the meeting who knows everybody in the meeting, and if there is who has all the phones, mm-hmm. you know, kind of, and has an emergency number, and if there is an emergency, you will be contacted. But this notion, because I interview people a lot about why they need their phones, and this notion of emergency, that there'll be a terrible emergency right. came up over and
how do we even define anymore what an emergency
is? Well, I know how people define emergency, and the bar is set very low. Mm-hmm. The bar has gone very low. I mean, very low. So get rid of this idea that you're going to be called to an emergency. If there's an emergency, you will be called to it. Mm-hmm. So no phones in meetings. And then sacred spaces at work, in the same as at home, where there are no phones. And then setting, really designing for conversation in the workplace, where there aren't just, you know, places without phones, but places that make it easy to talk.
Right.
And then most important, and I can't emphasize this enough, to create a culture of conversation, you have to convince people that the most important thing in your work culture is not being online, available 24/7.
And sort of similarly to how you talk about parents modeling this for their children, this is something that you say that this is like the senior leadership, right?
Absolutely.
Has to model it for
this
their employees.
This is the senior leadership. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, If somebody sends you an email, start answering it by saying, I'm thinking. And
if
watch,
you feel that need, you have to get back to them.
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'm thinking. And watch that go viral. I'm thinking. And everybody in your organization should be spending a little bit more time thinking. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things that happens is we become transactional.
Right.
We become reactive. Somebody asks, you know, you get an email and you feel you have to answer.
Right.
With a quick response.
Before you've processed or really taken any time to give it thought.
Yes. And what happens is that we start asking ourselves questions that we can answer quickly right. without thought. So we dumb down our questions to be questions that we can answer quickly. And so we're dumbing down our questions. We're dumbing down our answers. And the questions before us, seriously, in the complex organizations of today are not questions that are amenable mm-hmm. to this kind of dumbing down.
So we give everyone listening permission to wait before responding to their emails.
Yes.
To put their phones down.
Yes.
To leave them outside of meetings.
Yes.
To get them out of their bedrooms.
Yes.
Spend a little less time on them.
Yes.
And we'll be better. We'll just be better humans. Ultimately.
I don't know if we'll be better humans. We'll be listening to each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll recover. Will reclaim, and this isn't at all a retro position, but we are meant to be empathic. We have the chip. We have the listening chip, which allows us, because it was it was Darwinianly useful to understand things from the other person's point of view. You know, it really is part of raising a child mm-hmm. successfully. It's part of running a business successfully. It's part of apologizing successfully so you can get on with relationships that didn't go well and continue to function. And you don't want to lose all of that.
Right. But we kind of need to get out of our own way of doing that.
Yes.
Where we put technology in between us and
yes.
the ability to do
that. We have put, in my view, we have put technology in our way. And we didn't do it on purpose. We did it because this technology was so amazing. And I think it's just taken us a little while to sort of see. And it's still very early days. I mean, one of the things that occurred to me as I was as I've been working is to say that, you know, we grew up with the internet and so we think the internet is all grown up. But it's not. It's very early days. Mm-hmm. And we should be very easy on ourselves in some ways because it's all very new. And it's natural for us to think, well, it has to be like this because it's always been so. It hasn't always been so that we interrupt conversations to just look at what's coming in on our phones.
Right. I mean, smartphones haven't existed for very long.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy to interrupt a significant conversation to just check who else might be saying something to you. Right. It's not good. We don't have to do it. Just say no.
We can move away from what would you call from having moments of more but lives of less.
Yes.
To actually talking to each other.
Yes.
It's let's all do it. Let's all take on that challenge.
Yes.
Sherry Durgle, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.